Hello and welcome to Conversations on Karate. I'm Sue.
I'm Greg.
And I'm Joe.
And you're Joe. I'm glad you remembered who you are. Well done.
Yes, it's Joe. We thought it was Ken for a second, but it's not. It's Joe.
Yeah.
It's me.
It is you. It is you.
So, not as nice an accent, but it will do.
No one has a nicer voice as Ken. It's not just you.
No, he doesn't.
I am jealous.
He does have the best voice.
He does.
I've got a better beard, but he's got a better voice.
Ooh.
No contest. My beard's better than his, but his voice, voice supersedes it.
This sets up like a, I don't know.
A beard off.
Oh, yeah, bring it on, mate.
He's going to hear this and he's going to fight back.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it was a battle between the best beard and the best voice, I mean, you can shave off a beard, but you cannot get rid of a good voice.
No.
It's true.
Nice.
Anyway,
today...
go ahead, Sue.
We are all here to talk about to have a bit of a chat about the Festival of Martial Arts. Joe and I went to it, and Greg fully participated by hearing all about it and reading all of our texts during it. And
yeah, I feel like I was there.
I feel like you were there because we were both texting you all day going, oh my God, this just happened and this just happened.
Yeah, so I was there in spirit.
You were there in spirit, and we both tried to practice bits of our training with you on the following Tuesday morning.
Yes.
Yeah, all of which is very good fun. So the Festival of Martial Arts was run by Matt State and Lucci. It's Lucci's surname, Joe.
Del Guardia.
I beg Lucci's pardon. I am so sorry not to know that.
Oh, close. Del Guardio.
Thank you. And it was run in a little village just this side of Frome, between Shepton and Frome. And it was awesome. It was a completely new experience for me. I'm used to festivals, but not used to festivals of martial arts.
Sue's used to Glastonbury. How was it compared to Glastonbury? Was it as big? No?
I'd say it was a smudge smaller.
Oh, okay.
There was less makeup than I was expecting at the Festival of Martial Arts. Less glitter, definitely. Mm-hmm. And nobody was wearing fairy wings. Myself included. Now, I might rectify that next time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I should really have worn fairy wings.
Different coloured ones depending on your belt rank.
Oh, there's a thought. But then everyone would be wearing, pretty much most people would be wearing black ones, wouldn't they? So that wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Sounds very gothic.
There's nothing wrong with
black fairy wings.
Yeah, I think there's probably space for gothic black fairy wings. I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I think if everyone was going to do that, I think it'd be a bit samey.
Mm.
We'll suggest it. More of a glitter and makeup themed martial arts festival next time.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, this was already unexpected, so I think when Matt hears this, he's probably going to raise his eyebrows a little bit.
Probably.
not the feedback he was expecting.
That's what we do. Anyway, so talk us, because obviously I wasn't there, talk me and the listeners who also weren't there through... Joe, you were there for 2 days.
Yep.
So you were there for 1 day. So talk us through the day you were both there together.
Right. The day that we were both there together. So I got there about 9:45, I think. 9:30, 9:45. It is down all sorts of little country lanes. Or maybe it was just the way that I got there, but it was picked our way down, and it was not promising weather, I have to say. It was drizzling a little bit. But, you know, we're used to England, aren't we? We're used to it. We, you know, packed ready for it, you know, tracksuit and trainers and a Big Mac.
I love a Big Mac.
You about ready for a Big Mac now, are you?
Yeah, well, now you've got me in the mood.
9:05.
Yeah.
9:05 on a Monday morning and Greg needs a burger.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
And fries and a milkshake.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, got there then. I think went straight away and had a cup of tea, found Joe. And Joe had his, Joe was straight off to go and do a teaching class. And my first thing that I did, once we kind of stared around the whole place in wonder and kind of worked out what was happening, was I got a cup of tea, and I think kind of worked out that things had changed almost straight away, in that some instructors weren't going to be there who had had issues of varying descriptions and couldn't make it. And also the weather had had an impact. They'd had some outdoor spaces that they were going to have, and it was raining, and they realized that those couldn't take place. So Matt and Lucci were instantly changing everything on the fly. So we kind of walked into it being not overly crowded, very chill, people getting cups of tea, people figuring out where to go, and some classes starting straight away. And Joe figuring out, we kind of traipsed around, didn't we, Joe, looking for your place where you were going to be teaching. You kind of hunt the area. So yeah. that was what it was like when I arrived. What was it like for you, Joe?
Day one, yeah, exactly like you said. There was the timetable completely changed. People that know me know that I'm quite organized. I sat down, I made my own timetable where I put like the instructors and what martial art they did against each area. So I went there with a definitive plan of what I was going to do, and it all changed. Which, look, I thought Matt and Lucci did a phenomenal job considering what they were against. So like you said, there were six areas, two of them were outside. The other four, two of them were kind of outside. It was like an open marquee. There was a marquee. There was, I think they call it a stretch marquee, the one that they pulls open. There's poles holding it up. That they had one of them. That was like the main. That was area one. But because of the weather, it meant that three of the six areas were sodden. But we didn't. That didn't stop anybody. Yeah, they carried on with it. I was in area four, which was the one that was like open one side, so the mats were wet and the mats were pulling apart a bit, but we cracked on with it. We laughed it off and we carried on with it. You know, they said they were expecting the weather. A load of instructors dropped out. A load of people that said a load of people that paid to come dropped out as well. So that also changed the numbers of each session. So I think particularly on the Sunday, they were having to put instructors together because they knew that when people started going to different, obviously people had the choice of which ones to go to, like a festival, that it would have been quite light on the ground. So they did well to make it all work. Mm. We trained some really good. We trained together, didn't we, for a couple of people on the Saturday.
Yep.
We spoke about, I didn't want you to come to my session. I know you said you want to go and train with other people, because you've trained with me before, and I wanted you to use that opportunity to go and train with somebody else. And we had a great day. We trained with some really cool people, made loads of really good friends, both karate and other arts.
Yeah, we did. I mean, while you were doing that, I was trying to find the thing that I wanted to do first, which I couldn't find anywhere. And of course, it wasn't happening. So big shout out to a woman called Pip, who was not a yoga teacher. She was there with the Krav Maga group. And I'm afraid I can't remember the name of her Krav Maga group. But I'm just going to give her a big shout out, because fair play to her. She's not a yoga teacher, but Matt and Lucci were up against it. So she said, well, I can run a yoga group. So she just impromptu ran a yoga session right there. So, and she was awesome. And that was very nice. So my first training was doing yoga with a bunch of women under a tent while it rained outside, chilling the hell out. And it was genuinely really nice. Just the best start to the session that I could have hoped for, actually, just relaxing. So, you know, you were over there, Joe. I could hear you, you know, going, laughing and having a good old time with your class. And I was getting all zen over the other side.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And then the next thing that I did, I saw Jamie Club. Big hello to Jamie Club.
Hello, Jamie.
Oh, I know that was something that you really wanted to do, yeah. Is actually get to meet Jamie, who is an incredibly nice bloke in person. Very nice bloke in person. He did a talk. And everyone, keep an eye out for what Jamie's doing. He is about to do Animal Instincts. I think it's starting to rev up. And it is a long sort of self-protection, but almost life skills, sort of life skills mixed up with self-protection training program that is focused very specifically at age groups. So there's a very young group, you know, so I think something like 5 to 7, 7 to 11, 11 to 15, something. I'm getting those age groups wrong. I know I am, but that is kind of how it's broken up. And he was talking about that and also his book, When Parents Aren't Around. So I attended a talk with him. Nice. That's very nice, very civilized. Did another cup of tea and watched that. So by 12 o'clock, I was feeling very relaxed and thinking, oh my God, I haven't actually done anything yet.
So what did you do after that?
Well, after that, after that was,
I think we met for lunch.
We and, did, and but I think we went, had a session by then, hadn't we? At some point we saw, I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at the timetable that I wrote before we went. Definitely saw Kevin O'Hagan. Was that before lunch?
Oh, that was before lunch. That was
Kevin O'Hagan was so much fun.
Sue sent me some clips of the session. It looked fantastic. He's such a funny guy.
He's funny. He is badass.
Yeah.
He's well-armed.
Yes.
He's a great teacher. I asked online for any recommendations because a lot of these people, like a lot of them were famous, a lot of them were up and comers. And a bunch of people said, you need to go train with him. And I'm not sure if I'd heard of him before, but I'm so glad we went because he was cracking. And Paul, his assistant there, was just as awesome. And they're local. They're local to us. They're from Bristol. So we're definitely going to go hit them up again. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, now there was a particular takedown that I'm going to have to get you to remind me how it goes, Joe, because I actually managed to bring you down with it. And in case anyone haven't seen us, I'm 5'5", 5'6", and Joe is 6 foot. What, Joe?
I think 6 foot. Yeah,
you're a big guy, and it actually worked on you. Now you're going to have to remind me. I think if you had me in a headlock or something, you could get out of it by turning your head in, but the key bit was getting your arm under their leg, under their thigh, and grabbing the skin, digging your hands into it and pulling, and they just go. How do we do that again?
And biting the pec muscle.
Yeah, we didn't actually do it in biting class, everyone.
It goes across the shoulder. That was horrible.
Yeah, but how did you... you brought the arm in from your back.
Yeah, it just had like a classic, like sort of wrestling headlock, from the side.
You brought the hand, and so you kind of grabbed the other side and then lifted their leg forward with your hand behind it. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what we did. Yeah.
It's amazing. Then you kind of pushed them over, and it was, oh my God, that was fun.
So if you haven't trained with him before, definitely hit him up, especially if you're near or around Bristol.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, a huge energy. He was properly good fun. He kept insisting that he wasn't going to hurt his training partner because it was a Sunday. Till the entire group kind of yelled at him, "No, mate, it's a Saturday." And he was like, "Oh well, then."
He was a classic teacher where he was like, he'd hit him, say sorry, and then he did it again and go, "Oh, sorry."
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, and then did it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I was taking film of that, which he didn't mind a bit, and I was sharing clips of it with you, Greg, because I was just so blown away by it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, he was very good.
He was very good fun. I hope he comes. Hope he comes to us and teaches us some things. I would train with him again in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully we'll definitely see if we can get him to come down.
Yeah, he's a nice mix of humor, massive expertise. Absolutely holding a class in the palm of his hand. and teaching you seriously nasty things while taking great care of your training partner. It's not easy to do. And it was really well done. You could tell he's been doing that a long time.
Yeah.
Really nice. Yeah. Yeah. He was great fun. And then what else do we do?
We trained with Ian Gould.
Ian Gould? Goldie?
Goldie? Gould? I thought it was Gould. Ian.
And that was what? Filipino martial arts?
So on the timetable, he was Kali Salat Jiu-Jitsu, but I think his t-shirt said Filipino.
Yeah.
Filipino martial arts. He was cool. That was a good... We kind of came in late on that session, didn't we? We grabbed a bit of lunch. We came in, said, can we join in? And he said, yeah. So a couple of his assistants came over, a couple of younger students of his split us up and took us through a wrist and arm lock flow drill.
Yeah.
So they took basically, it was something like 17 wrist and arm locks.
Yeah.
Compiled into one flow drill. As opposed to being like a disjointed drill, it was flowing from one lock into another organically. Mm-hmm. That if you finished it, you ended up on the other side. So you ended up practicing 34.
Yeah.
And I think we with the time we had, I think we got up to 15.
Mm.
So he did well to get them in. That was fantastic. I mean, his two instructors were so patient, because we just kind of waddled in like we don't know what we're doing, and they were really good with us.
Mm.
And yeah, excellent teacher, brilliant material. We've got to try and remember it now between the two of us.
Oh God, yeah. Good luck with that. I think I remember one of them was called Come With Me. And a couple of them I slightly remember from, you know, standing side by side with them, sliding your hand in front, holding the front of their gi, and kind of opening up so that you do an arm lock against your own chest kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then turning around into it to the other side. But this is work that you guys have done a lot more of, that kind of work, where I've done really very little of it. So I was, fair play to the young woman who was teaching me. She was 14 years old and she was incredibly patient, which she'd have to be, because I was like, what are we doing? How are we starting this?
Yeah, that was a great session. We had a good chat with him after as well.
Yeah.
Had a quite impressive resume.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he really did. And he was a guy who was, because he'd trained in such a variety of different arts. I think he was, I don't know if he'd actually maybe met that many other instructors who had also trained in such a variety of arts.
Yeah.
And so I think he was delighted at the people he met.
Yeah.
Have you guys come across that as well, that you've trained in a wide variety of things and met other people who have, but they aren't sure how they'd be received by other people who have maybe trained in a wide variety, and worry if they'll be, because we see it on social media, don't you? Or you mustn't train outside of your art kind of thing. It's disrespectful. It'll spoil the purity.
I don't think you see that as much anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, I think in this day and age, it'd be pretty crazy to have that kind of...
Well, that's exactly what that festival was about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was about getting a bit of everything together and trying to... giving people the opportunity to train with each other, but also creating opportunities for people that don't normally do that to do that. I can speak firsthand from my background of traditional Shotokan, is that we 90% of the time trained in Shotokan. We trained in Shotokan dojos with Shotokan senseis. The only times that we did anything beyond that would have been because if the instructor was a mate of another instructor, and so we trained with someone that did Kyokushin. You know, we got Leon J down one time. But other than that, the rest of it was Shotokan. So there wasn't really much scope to train with other people. So I'm hoping that festivals like this will we'll promote that. We'll get people saying, well, there is lots of stuff out there beyond karate.
I think I've heard, was it you guys or some other guys talking about going to big martial arts events, but they're kind of held in event halls, conference halls and things like that? Have you done that?
No, I want to.
You want to?
I definitely want to. There's normally one. I think it's just happened, actually. I think it was in Manchester or somewhere.
Okay.
But like, I know GSP was there doing sessions and stuff. Like, they're really big.
Okay.
But I don't know how often they happen. I'm not really sure.
Do you know who organises them?
No. I'll find out, but...
Yeah, do. Find out.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously they had us there, so they had their big names, but...
Yeah, absolutely, of course. You don't get much bigger.
You don't get much bigger. But, you know, it might be nice to get people like GSP down.
Yeah, I'll give him a ring.
Do that.
Yeah, I'll give him a ring.
Do that.
See if he's free.
Yeah. I thought for a minute Joe had frozen, but he's
I'm looking at the timetable, reminding myself of what we did, so I can do the appropriate shout outs. So I don't want to miss anybody.
Greg's doing a very, very possible impression of you doing that, but Greg doesn't have the beard game going on.
No, I don't. Sorry.
But I'm not beard shaming you, Greg. It's okay. Thanks. I
appreciate that.
I mean, just looking over it, it's very much like a festival where if there's people on at the same time, you go, oh, that's a shame. I got to see one or the other.
Mm.
Very much like a festival, but... There was many people I met who I didn't get a chance to get to their session, either because they were on same time as someone else or all the timetable changed and I missed them, but I still managed to talk to a lot of people. For example, I was recommended to go and train with a guy called Gareth Jenkins, who is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from South Wales, Chepstow. He said, I unfortunately missed his session, but I had a really good chat with him. And I saw a lot of that over the weekend, which was great. It wasn't just training. There was networking. There was sharing ideas. We chatted with a couple of karate people from up north, a guy who I met called Craig Thompson, who's from the Dudley area, who has more of a background in Todai karate. And another guy from up north who brought one of his students along. He came to our session. Paul Harrison, I think his name was, had a really good chat with him, like sharing ideas, talking about syllabuses and class structures and where we're taking karate into the future. So it's nice to know that there are other karateka out there that have got the same ideas. And these were all younger guys as well. These were all about like around our age. So it's nice to know we got some allies out there.
Mm.
Spoke to other people as well. So he didn't just speak to karate. He spoke to all kinds of really interesting people. So there was a lot of sitting at benches and chatting to people we just met. Like there's no other environment where you can do that than a festival.
Mm. So do you think that would happen at a big kind of event? Conference space. I think that's why.
Unless you're an instructor, I don't think.
Okay, I think that's really interesting because maybe that's one of the reasons that Matt was thinking about having this kind of festival atmosphere. You know, when we spoke to him, we will be sharing a little bit later in this a quick 10-minute chat that Joe and I had with Matt. And he wanted to foster that communication of people, just people in martial arts. And I think that having that festively kind of feeling that, you know, people standing around getting a pizza and sitting around having a cup of tea at shared benches, it kind of definitely fostered that chilled out vibe of people just saying, hello, mate, how are you? Seen you in ages or really enjoyed your class. You know, and just ending up just sitting for half an hour and just chatting.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something that wasn't in the schedule on day one, was a break. And we did mention it to him, and he said, yeah, that was in for the Saturday. There was a lunch break in, just because of all the chaos on the first day, that hadn't happened. But he'll be scheduling in breaks so that you don't have to either miss a class or go and get lunch with someone next time. So, but yeah, so maybe that's why the festival is a good idea rather than the kind of big symposium-y kind of thing. What else did we do?
We trained with Lee Hasdell.
Oh, that was fun.
Which was good. It was nice. He had some interesting stories and had a lot to share about his history in martial arts and on his travels. And he was talking a lot about his current career and how he ties that into teaching kids.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? He said he'd never intended to, never planned to, but it's just kind of just evolved as his career's evolved.
So he trains puppies.
Does, yeah. For police, yeah.
It wasn't just puppies, was it? It was training them to be police dogs. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he trains police dogs, yeah.
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 So he's talking about the psychology behind trying to build the confidence in them first and then give them some tribulations to deal with along the way, as opposed to doing it the other way around and busting their spirit.
Yeah. He
tried applying that to teaching kids. So give them the self-esteem, give them the confidence and make them feel like they could do anything. And then you start putting in the pressure testing.
I was really interesting.
Power to withstand it. Very interesting. Yeah.
He was explaining it with the puppies. He was sort of saying, so when you start off with a puppy, you put the bad man in front of them, and then you persuade the puppy to take one step. And as soon as the puppy takes one step, the bad man runs away. Puppy's like, oh, I got this. I am the man or the woman. I have got this. And they just keep doing that until the puppy is really confident. And then you have to encourage them to go a little bit further, two steps, and then the man runs away, and then three steps. And then it's only when they're growing up a little bit and the confidence is really through that you start giving them, as Joe says, the problem solving. What happens if they don't run away? But they get all that confidence in them first. It's really cool. Love that.
Yeah, nice. That sounds good.
If I was being honest, because there was six training areas and one talks area that was just a nice seating area that people. If he was in that in the talks area, I think he would have been in his element. I think he was well up for a good storytelling and a chat, because I think that session was probably 50-50. About 75% of him telling the stories, which I was really interested in it, and a little bit. It was like, anyway, yeah, let's do a little bit of training that I do for my MMA. I don't think he was scheduled in the chat tent, but if he was, I think he would have drawn a big crowd, and because he could tell he did like talking, and I hang on every word he said. I think the session was an hour. I think he went on for a further hour.
but it was the last session of the day, wasn't it? So he was just like hanging out and talking, and we were just I mean, the only thing I did was I got up and put a jumper and socks on because I started sitting down at 5 o'clock. It was a cold day. But yeah, I mean, the focus from him really that we learned, and what we did learn, because like you said, it was a lot of talk. And some training, that bit of learning that we did was absolutely solid gold.
Yeah.
This thing was about controlling the center mass.
Yeah.
So when you want to take someone down, he was saying, you know, you get hold of them around
that center. The hip, wasn't it?
Yeah. Control the hip, the center. And even if you're not training in gis, wear a belt, because that will sit right where the center mass is. It's a kind of a guide for you as a training guide. Like that.
Yeah.
liked it. He was a very interesting, and may I say, very cool trainer.
Very cool.
I
don't know who you trained with. I trained with Tommy in the morning. Tommy Joe Moore. So you would have been training with somebody else at the time, I think.
That might have been I don't know what I was doing.
Oh, it might have been either Jamie's session.
That's right, I was with Jamie.
Yeah.
I was listening to Jamie's talk while you trained with Tommy Joe Moore. Tommy's.
So Tommy, we're mates. We met at the Bash, for the Bunkai Bash last year, the year before. And we've been quite pally online and always try to support everything that he does because he's a cool dude. We're about the same age. He's got a background in boxing and bar-jitsu. So like the guys that dress really suave, so he's always looking cool. And he's also bald with a ginger beard, so obviously we have a lot in common.
Joe, I've got a very serious question about this though.
Sure.
Do you have a better beard than Tommy Joe Moore? Think carefully.
I have a bigger beard than Tommy. Does that get me extra points?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just asking you to make a value judgment about it. You've done it with Ken.
Well, things with Ken, he's over the pond, isn't he? So, whereas Tommy, he knows where I am. he can come and get me.
Next year. But Ken's over here next year, and Ken's very good at waving big sticks and hitting things.
He is good with sticks, isn't he? Yeah, I didn't think about that.
He's also very good with machetes.
He's very good with machetes. And he has no skills.
So that beard could come right off.
In that case, the beard's coming off. I'll shave it off after this. But if you haven't had a chance to train with Tommy, he is wickedly funny. He appears like he doesn't take the session seriously because he is an absolute laugh. So he's been doing a load of sessions across the continent. He's been over. He's been over to Ukraine teaching material. He's been all over Europe. I think he's going over to see Jan Drachman over in Denmark very soon, doing a lot of World War II combatives. So he's looking at self defense from a battlefield perspective, and it was interesting, entertaining, whatever you took from it. It was very good. He does have his fun ways of trying to lighten the mood and like trying to make silly little jokes. He talks about like getting a melon and smashing it in their face, as opposed to Taisho to the nose. He tries to make it good fun. We did a bit of peg sparring. So he gave everybody a couple of cloves pegs, okay. And you had to put them on your person, and you had to try and retrieve them from your partner, and then anything you collected you put on your person, and that was quite good fun. Again, just made everybody laugh. Like that's why I like Tommy, because that's my style. I like to try and do drills that make people laugh because it relaxes people. And that was certainly the theme of my sessions over the weekend, was trying to do drills that I wanted to do drills that people from the YouTube channel said, I like that. I want to do that in my dojo. And that's from training with Tommy a few times. That's what he likes to do. He likes to get people going away and talking about it after. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So again, if anyone that hasn't trained with him, he's all across the place, so he wouldn't be far from you at any one point. Definitely worth the money, go and train with him. Just looking at Saturday, I think that's it. There were other people I wanted to train with.
We did kickboxing.
Yes, we did. I didn't plan on that. We went to see Mark Fry.
Yes,
Mark Fry from Superfoot. That was quality. Yeah, nice bloke, lively, wasn't he? He was full of energy. Some good students with him, and we went through bouncing the front foot into a kick and then retreating again afterwards. Because there was a lot of but it was about point kickboxing, wasn't it? It was competitive kickboxing.
Yeah, absolutely. But
useful elements in there.
Oh yeah.
We were sparring from the side, so we had the front hand down, and the other hand was up by the face, and we were stood almost entirely side on. Bouncing the front foot, connecting, but bringing it back and bouncing back again, so that you were like fencing, like advancing and retreating. I like that because you guys know that I'm a kicker, so it was interesting to pick up those little points and like how to throw in cheeky little kicks as a combo. He was an entertaining dude as well, very engaging.
He was. He's very good natured because I did my normal thing. I totally embarrassed myself. He showed us the thing and I was thinking, I can't see that. And I tried it. I was like, oh my God, it works. But of course, me being me, I did that really loudly, like out loud. And he turned around and said, well, thank you so much. And I was like, no, I really mean it. I'm so impressed. I was so delighted. He was good. He was good with showing how to get those kicks a bit lighter and a bit higher without, you know, overbalancing or what have you. And it was just about that lightness, just about bouncing the foot, getting a bit lighter. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And I really like the way he taught us to throw a hook.
Oh, yeah. So it's throwing a hook whilst stepping upside on.
Yeah.
So that you could turn. I think he did like almost like an Ashuragiri.
Yeah.
Very, very tight. Or their equivalent, like the spinning kick.
Yeah. Very, very tight. Even if you didn't do that, you could. His way of doing things was a little bit different because you almost. Your stance would be different if you're left-handed and right-handed. Their focus was slightly different. But essentially, if a jab was coming towards you, you feint to the right, move to the right. When a cross is coming towards you, you move to the left. And as you do that, you literally stand up, step round, bring your feet together, keep your elbow high and hook as you turn in.
Yeah.
Really, really tight. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, what did that teach me? Is that if there's anybody that goes to events like this and they see people that train in competitive martial arts, don't always turn your nose up at it, because there's material that they have that you can absolutely adapt into if you're not into competitive martial arts. There's always something you can take away from it. So things like the bouncing off the front foot to build up the momentum before the kick. And he was talking about bouncing the feet out and in like they do in competitive kickboxing, but using that to try and close the distance without them realizing. Little things like that you can pull away from that. And again, this is what I was talking about in my sessions, is saying if you do a different martial art, take what we do and make it adapt to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that would just build walls between martial arts. There'll be karate over here, there'll be salat over here, and we won't talk to each other. So that's how martial arts came around in the first place, is picking up stuff. Okay, I'm not going to go into superfoot kickboxing, but there are elements that I can take and put into my karate.
I think for me, there were several things there where if I had the opportunity to go and, you know, if I was going to be living in Bristol and I wasn't able to train with you guys, would I go train with Kevin O'Hagan instead? Yeah, for sure. I would feel at this point that I could walk into his gym and be quite happy and taken care of. I would learn. I would enjoy it. Yeah. I would feel the same about Lee Hadsall. I would feel the same about Mark Fry. I would feel the same about Ian Goldie. I would feel quite happy walking into their training room and being taken care of, without doubt, having a good time and learning something valuable. So I think I got a lot from that whole experience of just being there.
Yeah.
And also, can I just say the pizza was really damn good.
It was good.
Really good. Greg, you would have loved it. It wasn't like
a McDonald's. I do love pizza.
Not quite there, but pardon?
I do love pizza.
It was a good pizza. It was a good pizza. Nice cups of tea, good pizza, and Indian food too. So, had a kind of curry thing at the end. And a pizza at lunch, so it was really good.
Yes. So I know you weren't there on the Sunday, so I want to quickly fire through some names that I met on the Sunday. So I trained with a guy called Harry Flaxman, a.k.a. Fight Dad. We got some foam swords out, and we were doing a really good session about hitting the hand, hitting the front hand to advance, as along with various other things that he was going through. So, like, similar to things that Ken's gone through with a screamer. I also trained with, so this is a guy I met online before the festival, a guy called Raj Sorin, who has a background in Shorinji Jiu-Jitsu. So I think he does traditional and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think I saw a picture of him online. He goes to Gracie Barra as well. He was pretty cool. He was again, very good teacher. Very good with the kids, very good at making sure that everybody understood the material. We were going through, we did quite an interesting drill where it looked like very traditional jiu-jitsu with like hand up, hand down, grabbing the arm. But he was like pinning the head. So he was like getting an arm bar using the top of the head and then swinging the leg round and then sitting on them on the ground. That was pretty cool. So shout out to him. I've been chatting to him since the festival. Who else? So I had a session at lunchtime. I wanted to go and train with Craig Thompson, who's the guy I was talking about earlier, who has a karate jiu-jitsu background. But they put him on at the same time because there was an issue with the number of people that said they were going to come but didn't. So they were putting instructors together. So they put Craig Thompson on with Terry Burkett, who I said I was interested in going to train with, who's Kyokushin. So they did half a session each. And yeah, I said about I wanted to go train with Gareth Jenkins, but the conflicting timetable meant I didn't get a chance to train with him. But I had a really, really good chat with him, really, really friendly. And like, so we went to other sessions together, but I didn't get a chance to do his session. So I could tell he was if I had gone to his session, I bet it would have been fun. He laughed at himself a lot. So he seemed like quite a humble guy, and I've always got time for teachers like that. And just looking, I think that is everybody, because I think by that time, there was quite a lot of guys that were there that traveled a far way. So I think a lot of them did have to leave around 2, 3, 4 o'clock, which I didn't blame them. A lot of them traveled like 7 hours to get there.
Wow, that is impressive.
So we have to appreciate that even though this was very conveniently near us, that a lot of people travel. I spoke to some guys that came from Lancashire, South Yorkshire, and further afield. Like they some people did some serious miles to get there.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for us to turn up and go, yeah, we had a great time. We took us 15, 20 minutes to get there. But yeah, some people really put the hours in to get there. So hats off to any of you lot that did those miles. And we don't blame you for leaving at the time that you did. So that was more or less my Sunday. So by that time, I think I'd left maybe about 4 o'clock. By that time, I was mentally and physically done.
Yeah.
I'd taken in so much information. I'd been on my feet all day. I had done everything that I could.
Yeah. I must admit that by the end of Saturday, I felt exactly the same. I was, you know, switched on, you know, absolutely switched on, thoroughly enjoyed the whole thing, had a chat with Matt, sat down, had something to eat with you, Joe, had a natter with you for about an hour or what have you. And then all of a sudden the lights go out in my head and I'm done.
Yeah.
I think it was about 7:30. You could probably see I was just like, nope, home now. Home, finished, yeah. Done. Absolutely exhausted from, and I hadn't been through half as much as you had. So it was amazing for that. I think so much information to take in.
Yeah. So if, yeah, as far as what I took from it is concerned, I had, by the time I got to about 3 or 4 o'clock on the Sunday, I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I was satisfied. Mm-hmm. I think I described it as if I was at an all-you-can-eat buffet, I was done.
Mm.
Like I'd taken in everything that I think I could. I couldn't hold anything else. So I was satisfied as a student as well as an instructor.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Cool. Can I just share a little exciting point that happened to Joe while we were there?
Of course.
Joe got asked for his autograph. There was a guy there collecting famous people's famous martial artists' autograph, and Mr. Joe got asked for his autograph.
I'm famous.
You're famous.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
So it's a guy that is I think it was a student of one of the guys involved. So they're all to do with Kaizen and the Kaizen events. And I think he was one of the students or something like that. And he came over, asked me autograph, and asked me to sign his T-shirt, which I thought was really, really nice. I was honoured to be asked to teach anyway, because like we've got quite a good online presence with YouTube, and we got quite a few subscribers. But in terms of like getting out and being invited to seminars and stuff, hasn't been happening yet. So it was nice to be entrusted with that responsibility, and I'm hoping that will get people talking, you know, raise the profile a little bit, and we'll hopefully be invited to more stuff. As long as people enjoyed it. Did quite a lot of networking over the weekend, chatting to some people. Not just karate people, chatted to all kinds of people. And that's the point. It wasn't a karate event. It was a martial arts event.
Yeah, it very much was. And I think when you listen to Matt, our lovely listeners, in a few minutes, you'll hear what he thought about it. And you know, he was really excited by it, and he was so appreciative of all the people who paid money and come along as punters, as I was, to, you know, just to come along and take part.
Well, they've already put dates down for next year.
Are you going to come to the next one, Greg?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's in the same place, and they've occupied more space. So I think they're... The car park is going to be at the bottom of the hill, and where the car park was this year, that they're going to extend that. So it's going to go all the way down to the other side of the field, and they're going to work around the lake.
Yeah, there was a lake.
So there was a lake with an island in the middle, and a load of people joked, oh, you should have one of them there. You should have one of the matted areas there. And only the willing that would cross the lake would be worthy of training.
That's actually a genius idea.
I volunteer to be a pretend shark in the lake.
But no, I think it's going to be bigger and better next year.
Cool. I think I got the impression that a lot of people had said they'd sent one or two people on ahead of them, and they wanted to see what it was like before they committed themselves. So they're also, I think that's what Matt was saying, wasn't it? It's like, you know, one or two people would go and feedback, and then they'll think about going next year. I think that had been a kind of theme of the feedback that he'd been receiving. So yeah. I would imagine that a lot of more people will go next year.
Yeah. I mean, considering that was the first one, it's not their first event, but that was their first festival.
Yes.
I thought they did a sterling job.
Yeah, me too.
I was walking around thinking, if this was my first attempt at doing this, I would never have achieved anything like this.
Mm.
You got to give them the
huge credit.
The amount of money and rent, the stuff they rented, and like the organizing and the advertising, and oh god, that just the even things that we haven't even considered.
Mm.
Yeah, fair play to you guys. You did a great job.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was amazing. Huge, huge congratulations to Matt Lucci for that. Amazing.
Nice.
Boys. Yeah,
we'll be there. We'll be there next year. We'll bring some people as well.
Yes, more than just ourselves. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing what you guys teach next year.
Well, I mean, even if we don't get invited to teach, I'll still go and train. I'll still go and meet some people. Because otherwise, that's just all it's going to be, isn't it? If it's just a festival full of teachers. You know, we want to be able to promote getting students and potential teachers and even potentially members of the public coming and trying it out.
Yeah, I mean, it was completely accessible. And one of the nicest things about it was, I was late to a couple of sessions because we were trying to figure out what was going to happen because everything changed constantly. The schedule was out the window. And they were kind of working out how they were going to let people know. And within about an hour, they'd got a whiteboard and an allowed hailer. And they were just in the center of the field, just calling it out, pointing out the teachers, and off people went. And I've completely forgotten. What did I say just before I said that? Completely forgotten. Joe's moving around and I'm all distracted.
Sorry, I'm trying to find a laptop charger. You carry on.
Completely forgot. I was just going to say how completely welcoming all the teachers were, because I walked into a couple of things late. By the time I worked out what was going to happen, I found out where the teachers were that we wanted to go and see. So you walked into everyone late, and they were absolutely, everyone was like, yeah, come on in.
Yeah.
You know, because we're being very respectful about it and standing on the edge and saying, may we join? And they were all like, yeah, of course, come on in.
Nice.
So it's a nice feeling about it, you know, not this, no sense of big egos flying around or anything like that. I don't think that would be very welcome there.
No, definitely not.
No. But it was a very happy experience all the way around. 100%.
Awesome.
100% it was. And look forward to meeting a whole bunch of people there next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Anything really else to nice. Add?
No, I don't think so. Other than, you know, book a little bit of time off the following morning and book in a bit of practice time, because we had a little bit of session where we tried things out. But really, to be honest with you, we would really need some proper time to actually go through all the things we learned and get them practiced and integrated. And honestly, I wouldn't mind doing that at some point. To be honest, there was such a lot to bring in. You know, either whether they're little tweaks or they're really quite big things that you'd really want to practice and get them, I think. You know, almost like with the kickboxing, I can see how it would fit into our sparring, but honestly, to move from my normal position in sparring to get to there and to figure out how to integrate that, you know, especially when we're also learning Carly at the same time. And that's almost the literal polar opposite. Because kickboxing wants you to be 100% side on. Well, not 100%, but a lot side on. And Carly requires you to be completely facing your partner.
Hmm.
So if you want to incorporate all of these things into your game, that's going to take some practice of each thing, I think.
Yeah.
And then some kind of steady sparring, exploring that while the other person is also figuring that out. And I kind of fancy the idea of that. I don't know. What would you do, Greg?
I do that anyway. That style of kickboxing was Jeff's bread and butter. So that was like what I was brought up on, was that kind of freestyle karate point style kickboxing.
Mm.
The very, very side on, front leg heavy, lead leg kicking.
Mm.
So I don't do it as much anymore, but I still tend to do it occasionally. It's definitely integratable, 100%. Mm. It's just about disguising the way you switch your stance, I guess.
Mm.
As long as you know, you'll definitely be able to incorporate that without question.
Really like to bring that in. I really would like to bring that in.
Essentially, what you need to do is just practice using your front leg.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't got a good front leg kick, you're going to struggle to integrate it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So if you work on using that front leg.
Yeah, and I do need to do that. I would like to do that because my front leg kick is not good. But when I do use it, it's definitely better.
I think Rich worded it well the other day. He said you add like clay, and then you chip away like marble.
Oh, I love that.
I'm sorry, our jiu-jitsu teacher.
Okay.
So you said, like, when you start out, you learn a bunch of stuff and you take it all in, and then as you start sort of defining your material, you'll add stuff, you'll take stuff away, and eventually you'll end up with what your game is.
Mm.
Very similar to like what Dan Hardy, you said, Greg sent me clips, but like he say things like that.
Yeah.
So like with the shoot, with the Superfoot stuff. Like, there's stuff that we won't take, but there's stuff that we will.
Yeah, I've got that.
And that's it with everybody. Like, yeah,
I've got the step into the hook. I've got that straight away. And I integrated it as soon as we were sparring. No problem at all.
Well, we do our Tuesday open mat, don't we? So we trained there the Saturday, Sunday, and then we trained on the Tuesday. Mm. And I was already seeing stuff that I picked up from the weekend. Like a couple of things I got from Raj and a couple of things we got from Mark Fry. I did a couple of kicks where I bounced off the front foot and connected. And I went, ooh, I learned that the weekend. So it's nice to – but I think because we got straight on with it, I think because we went to the festival and then said, right, let's go and train, the things came out. Whereas if we went, oh, that was a nice festival, and then just did nothing, then we're not going to retain that information.
Yeah.
So for me, that worked out well. I already saw some things that I took from the festival.
Yeah. I think next time we do Tuesday, I'm going to have to work harder on getting that kick in. And I need you guys to yell at me when I'm not doing it.
Righto.
Okay.
Okay. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you, guys. I will now hand over to our little chat that we had with Matt State. When Joe and I sat with him on Saturday evening and found out from him how everything was going. Okay, Matt, so we've already been talking. This is Matt State, who has organised the Festival of Martial Arts. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for asking me to come and have a chat.
Well, that's all right. We dragged you away from the coffee tent and all the talk and the beer and everything so that we could come and talk about what day it's been. And Joe's here too, Joe Andrews.
Hello.
So we've already caught you and said what an awesome day it's been. How are you doing with it though? Because you've been a bit stressed.
Yeah, no, I'm good now. We had a few bumps along the way at the beginning, and the weather wasn't necessarily on our side this morning, but it's cleared up beautiful now. And as you can see, the absolutely stunning scenery around us. So yeah, now it's an absolutely lovely place to be. This morning, not so much for an hour or two until we got it sorted.
Yeah, it was. So I think you said that the rain changed a few of the outdoor things, so a lot of stuff had to be shifted.
Yeah, we had two main problems. Main problem number one was some of the instructors that had agreed to come pulled out last minute for various reasons, which was obviously challenging with regards to the timetables because everything had already been formulated. And then to compound that, we had the weather this morning that wasn't forecast, and so we ended up losing two of our main areas because of the rain. So we had to sort of jiggle everyone around and squeeze everything in. But everyone's been super gracious. It actually worked out better because we had some fantastic organic sessions with people, and so it actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Over the course of the day, it's been brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, you're an instructor, so how was your? You were up first up, weren't you? 10 o'clock.
Yep, 10 o'clock. Yep, we were just area two, and we had a great session. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We pulled people in from the rain, and everyone was kind of laughing about it. We were just going with the flow, and everyone's had a great day. Everything that Matt said, everybody rolled with the changes. These guys were great with the changes, making sure everybody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody felt comfortable.
I have to say, it's been a really, really, really happy feeling here today.
Yeah, very much, yeah. I've got to point out just at this moment, even though people can't see it that are listening, but our security right now is playing sports sword with some of our instructors over there. And that's a vibe of the day, isn't it? That really sort of signifies the kind of day we're having. Yeah. So the band are setting up now. The music's going to be going in a bit. The sun's looking gorgeous as it's going across the sky. You know, this is going to be a wonderful evening to go with a wonderful day.
Yeah. So, is this kids just playing around now on the because you've basically got, I don't know what kind of tents these are, but almost like gazebo kind of things, like, so they're open at the sides, just covered on top, and then lots of deep matting on.
Yeah.
And right now there's just kids playing around on them, people, you know, parents kind of wandering about, kids playing around. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's a lovely setting. Yeah,
it
yeah.
It's like so, a mini festival.
That's exactly the vibe that we wanted, and with all the glamping pods and the stretch tents with the mats underneath and everything, it's created that. I hope it has created that festival vibe, and so you've got.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got proper training areas, matted areas and covered areas, but it's also, as you say, completely all open and part of nature, and the breeze is blowing through, and
yeah.
So that's the aim that we were the vibe we were trying to get, and hopefully yeah. you know, we've sort of achieved that.
Yeah. Oh, you did. I mean, Joe's here as a teacher, you're here setting it up, but I'm here as a punter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I came along here thinking, you know, my normal thing is it going to be okay, and am I going to find everything, and will I be able to manage, and will I have partners in the training sessions, and yeah. all the stuff that goes through my head. And that was all just blown away because the sessions changed as soon as I was arriving. So there was impromptu yoga happening.
Yep.
So I was like, I was late for it, so I kicked off my shoes and said, can I come on the mat? And they were like, of course you can. Mm-hmm. And that's been the whole yeah. way it's been yeah. all day. Can I come in here late, please? You know, onto your mat. And they're like, yeah, just come in.
Yeah,
everything's been chill.
Yeah, all the instructors have been really, really gracious and great. And they've all pitched in, and everybody's sort of made friends with one another. And yeah. there's all kinds of great stuff going on. And when you said earlier about that, I wasn't sure how it was going to be. I've heard that loads of times today, where some people have come just by themselves or with maybe one other, but they've got loads of, you know, their students and their groups and things that were like, oh, I don't know what it's going to be like, so I'm not sure. You go and have a look and come back and tell me. And they've all said that what a fantastic time that they've had, and they'll yeah. be coming en masse next year.
Yeah.
So that's you know, that's fantastic yeah. as well. And obviously with the glamping tents and everything, everyone's been really impressed and bowled over by those. The pictures do not do them justice, and so I think as soon as they go up live for next year, they will sell out in a few days. Yeah. I'd be amazed if they don't.
For sure. Have you taken lots of footage of everything? Have you got lots of film and pictures today?
I haven't personally, but lots of people have.
Good.
So there's been lots of people going around taking lots of photos and videoing things. So Mike Stillgo has been doing a lot of video in, which is fantastic. He's very, very good at that sort of thing. There was another chap, and I forgive me, I can't remember his name, but he was taking lots and lots of photos, which he's going to put up in a couple of days
right.
that he'll make accessible to anyone that wants them, which is brilliant. So if you were here over the course of the weekend, and you know, and you look through there, or certainly there'll be a picture of you in there somewhere, because he's taken quite a few.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, as a punter, I've been able to do yoga, meet Lee Hadsell, do jujitsu, learn kickboxing. I don't know what else I've done. I know I've done something else along
some
there
Filipino
as well. Done
well
Filipino
there.
Joint locks as well. I mean,
that was
it would, and it's cost me, what, 40 quid for the day? Yeah. That's impressive, because yeah. I would pay that to go to one seminar and have one tutor for like 3 or 4 hours, and I wouldn't have had the good time that I've had, or meet the people in this way that I have. And Joe, you've had that as well, haven't you? Because the people you've met, you know, the,
yeah.
the teachers, the students.
Yeah, yeah. I had some guys coming over to my session. We had a laugh. We were talking afterwards, and then we found ourselves going to similar sessions and sharing interests. And then I was going to their sessions. So
yeah.
there's a large degree of networking. So there was as many
yeah.
people out here on the grass chatting and
yeah.
talking to people they only just met, as well as people
yeah.
going in and training.
So for you as a teacher, though, you're going to, some of these instructors will then come to our club maybe
absolutely
one day and deliver training for us, which is awesome.
Which is what martial arts is all about.
Yeah. Did you anticipate that would happen?
That was the hope, yes.
Really?
We purposely set out to do three things, right? Number one is we did want to make it family orientated, genuinely family orientated, because sometimes people say that, but you know, if you're not actually training on the mats, or if you're not interested in martial arts, I know weirdos, but some people are like that. Then, you know, we wanted some things for them to do as well. So that was something we were quite keen on trying to make happen. The secondly, I don't know about you people, but I've been to events sometimes where they're multidiscipline, and an instructor will get on the mat, will teach their session, and then not engage with anybody else at all and won't go on anyone else's mats and things like that. And I thought, I definitely don't want that because that sort of grinds my gears a little bit. You know, I want it to be inclusive. And then the third part of it is I wanted everyone who was here to be open-minded and not egotistical. And again, that was really important for me because I want to build a culture and an ethos for this that is friendly, that is accessible, that people can come and just have a really great time amongst nice people, learn some good stuff, and, you know, and not have to do that whole, you know, false, you know, sort of strutting around kind of, I'm a martial arts instructor, don't you know, you know, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, so we purposely set out for that. And I like to think certainly today we've, you know, everybody's been here, we've achieved that. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were chatting to one guy who was saying he was worried about being a multidiscipline fan and meeting possibly everybody else would be a purist.
Yeah.
And that it wouldn't be okay.
But if you noticed,
he's found that was so the opposite.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you noticed, even the full-on purists, the 50 years in one art, really high level at what they do, even those people were engaging with everyone That's else and saying, brilliant. You know, and saying how interesting the other nuances of things are. So it's really great to see, you know, with the struggle to put it on, because it has been a long road, and then obviously with the bumps in the beginning, it's great to sit here now and look around, and as you see, as we sit now, seeing everyone laughing and joking and chatting and just having a really nice time.
Yeah, I think you've done something really special. We've enjoyed it.
I think you guys have done something special because I had the idea and I sort of booked the place and have talked to some people, but. And talk to some people, but we've got a situation where it's you guys that have done it. It's you know, it's the people that have come, it's the people that have got involved, it's the instructors, it's the people that have brought tickets. It's you guys that have actually made this the way that it is. You know, I couldn't, it'd be no good just me and a stud in the field, would it?
That's no, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. No, I'm sure it'd be lovely for you, but no, it wouldn't help. But no, it's been brilliant. You have done a really, really impressive job, and I've loved that. How about you, Joe? Any final words from Joe?
I can't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yep. What time are you on tomorrow, Joe?
My session is 12:00, and I think I'm on area 5.
Ooh,
but
exciting.
I'm gonna be here early.
Engaging with everything.
And we're gonna get chat to people and crack on with the first session.
Cool. Yeah. We've got Tai Chi at 8:00. We've got yoga at 9, and we've also got stretching for martial arts at 9 as well. So before anything even starts, there's lots going on in the morning.
Lovely.
So it's gonna be a great day tomorrow.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good luck with the rest of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for supporting.
So happy to have. And that's great. Well, good luck with the rest of it. Yeah, that's it. Look forward to next year.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you there.
All right, bye bye.
Thank you.
Well, I think that says it all. Thank you very much to Matt State and Lucci. And bye, Greg. And bye, Joe.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.